to Grad Audio, brought to you by Study Trust, Van Schaik Publishers, Capitec, and me, Ruda Landman. Grad Audio goes with a booklet called Grad, which can be downloaded for free on the same platform where you found this podcast. There's also a workbook to help you digest the content. Grad was originally meant as a support for first-year students at university, but most of the content is relevant to anyone who is studying. It is loosely organized according to the four terms of the academic year, but you can dip in and out as you wish. The chapters don't build on each other. In our structure, we are approaching the end of the year. It's spring and the exams are looming. Whatever you do, you have to manage your stress. Anxiety or stress is very common among university students. It is very distressing and can sometimes be almost paralyzing. The first step to getting control of it is to understand that stress is neither negative nor positive. It is our body's normal response to a challenge, threat, or excitement. It only becomes a problem if it occurs too often, for too long, or too intensely. Think about two examples of people experiencing stress: a student just before a major exam, and a sports person before a critical event. Both are aware that the palms of their hands are sweating, they feel their hearts racing, and have strange feelings in the pit of their stomachs. Students may be upset by these reactions, thinking that the stress will hamper their performance and lead to failure. They may lie awake, worrying not only about the exams, but about the physical symptoms of stress, falling into a vicious cycle of worrying about worrying. The sportsperson, on the other hand, sees the same physical symptoms as signs of being ready to run faster, jump higher, or throw better. We often hear of athletes psyching themselves up or getting the adrenaline flowing before an event. In other words, evoking the very same reactions that the student sees as a stumbling block to success. Stress can be either a barrier or an aid to success, depending on how you interpret, label, and control it. It will help you perform at your best if you can learn to accept the physical symptoms of stress and label them positively, know at what level you are motivated or paralyzed by stress, and can bring your stress down to manageable levels. How do you do that? Stress has both physiological and psychological components, so it's best to tackle it from many directions. Some ideas to help you do this. In the first place, ensure realistic performance expectations. Research shows that many students demand too much from themselves in exams. Someone who usually gets 60% for maths may suddenly demand 75% of himself or herself. Or a student who achieved straight A's in matric may expect to do the same at university. That is not going to happen. If you find yourself thinking 60% is the same as failing to me, do a reality check. See where your marks are now. Work hard to keep them there. Then slowly build on that. If we set realistic performance goals for ourselves, we will become accustomed to success rather than failure, and nothing motivates like success. Identify any unrealistic expectations you may have, especially in the subjects you find most stressful. Then draw up an action plan, setting goals that will slowly but surely get you from where you are now to where you want to be. Also, resist comparisons. Comparing your exam performance or preparation with that of your classmates can cause paralyzing stress. When we use other people's achievements as a standard, we probably set our expectations too high or too low. Make a list of people with whom you tend to compare yourself and your performance. Consciously resist doing so. Rather, use your own performance as a standard against which to set your goals. Also, manage outside pressures. Other people, parents, lecturers, friends, may have expectations and demands that can make you feel pressured and stressed. Monitor your performance honestly and regularly. You are the best judge of your achievements. set your own realistic standards. Then, manage the fear of competing for scarce resources. Final year students in particular are often almost paralyzed by the thought that they may not find a job when they finish studying. Work out a step-by-step approach to looking for that job. Do as much as you can, and remember that you cannot control every outcome. Also consider different possibilities to achieve your goal. You may be too fixated on one career path. Perhaps there is another way. And then lastly, let's think about positive self-statements. The way we see ourselves and the way we think or talk to ourselves both control the way we will respond in stressful situations. Each time you start thinking or saying something negative, such as, "I failed last time, I'll probably fail again this time," challenge this attitude with a logical, forceful self-statement. "Okay, so I failed last time, but that doesn't mean I'm going to fail again this time. I'm better prepared, and I've got a new approach to my work." This does not mean fantasizing. Don't sit and daydream about being successful. That will only make you give up at the first hurdle. If you have an exam coming up, don't visualize the A grade. Visualize yourself studying hard and successfully. And reward yourself whenever you succeed. If you manage to concentrate in class or get through a difficult piece of work, congratulate yourself. You'll get to feel good about yourself and your self-confidence will improve. Write down some positive statements and say them aloud on your way to class or to an exam. Here are a few examples, but of course you can come up with your own. "I am confident. I am enthusiastic. I do what it takes to reach my goals. I do what it takes to reach my goals." We conclude this whole series with a final word of inspiration. This poem was written by Almar Gambo, a young woman who had to look after herself from the age of 17 when her aunt passed away. She lived with her cousin, also 17, and her brother, who was then 21. They managed to keep their small household together and to study. Her cousin qualified as a teacher, and her brother obtained a BSc. Almar finished her WITS law degree in the minimum time and now works at a big consultancy. Here's her poem. "Dream big, scary dreams. Dream dreams in words you can't pronounce, cities you've never been, doing things you've only ever seen on TV. Dream big, bold, and alien dreams. Dreams that scare you. Dreams that bully you into wanting better for yourself. Dream dangerously. Dream dreams that dare to be greater than your circumstance. Dream dreams so foreign to your reality that they frighten you. Dreams that put poverty to shame. We may not have much, but we were all afforded the heart to dream. So go ahead and dream it all. Dream dreams draped in contentment, peace, abundance, and happiness. Dream your spirit whole. And when you have dreamt, wake up and go live your dreams." I cannot say it any better. Go live your dreams. South Africa needs you to be all you can be. Goodbye. Hamba kahle. Moilo.